Our meditation for this Pentecost will be based upon our Old Testament reading from the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verses 24 through 30, and the account of two men to whom the Holy Spirit had descended, allowing them to prophesy, and Moses' reaction to it, saying, "I wish that all of the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put His Spirit on them." Grace and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Communication. That's the message of Pentecost, that all would speak of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. But communicating with others isn't always so easy, is it? Parents have difficulty talking with their teenage children. Governments have difficulty negotiating treaties with other nations. Marketing departments walk a minefield nowadays, wondering how to sell their products without offending folks. Communication. Effectively communicating an important message is what this morning is all about. But it's something that we can all relate to because we have all experienced it. A time when you couldn't understand someone because they spoke a different language than you, or because a word meant something different to them than what it meant to you. For instance, this being Memorial Day weekend, I had heard that the different branches of our military have trouble operating jointly because they too speak different languages. For example, I have been told that if you told a Navy guy to secure a building, to him that would mean to turn off the lights and to lock the doors. To an Army fella, to secure a building would mean to occupy it so that nobody could enter or leave it. To Marine, it means storming a building, capturing it, and then setting up a defensive perimeter. The Air Force, on the other hand, would take to secure a building to mean taking out a 3-year lease with an option to buy it at over 1,000% of its market value. All joking aside, effective communication is a real issue no matter who you are or what your specific circumstance may be. And for the church and its members, it is no different, except for our message. For what we must share and make known is of eternal significance. It's life and death stuff. It's salvation versus damnation. It will determine where one stands in the day of judgment, at Christ's right hand or on his left. And we must realize that all who have been called to faith by the Holy Spirit have also been called to communicate that faith with others, with our friends, neighbors, co-workers, family, and perhaps most importantly, to our children, the most vulnerable of our population, who are now being influenced as never before by forces of evil. Indeed, we hear in Deuteronomy, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. The commandments are to be upon our hearts, and parents are to impress them on their children, to talk about them at home, while traveling, and when children are put to bed and when they rise in the morning. In short, we are to be communicating the Scriptures, the one true faith, with our kids, so that they are equipped to fight off the forces of the devil, so that they too can give a reason for the hope that they have of a life to come in heaven. Basically, what's going on in our Old Testament text for this morning is that Moses needed help in sharing God's word. There were simply too many people and too many issues, and so the Lord sent the Holy Spirit upon others. What's interesting is that Moses' assistant wanted to stop some of them, apparently wanting to restrict this gift to a select few. But Moses felt very differently. "Oh, how I wish everyone would speak God's word," he said. That everyone would speak. In other words, it's not about the man, the woman, whether the speech is eloquent or not. It's about the message. It's always about the message. And that message, from the first verse of the Bible to its last, is about Christ Jesus. It's about who God is, who you are, and the Lord's plan of redeeming a lost world. It's about restoration. It's about God fixing what we ourselves have broken. And we are broken. Anyone who denies that is delusional, or to put it more accurately, is under the influence of the devil, who is all too happy to cloud our minds with all kinds of ideas that contradict what God wants and desires of us. In short, Satan wants you to remain broken. But I think one visit to a hospital, nursing home, prison, courtroom, battlefield, inner city, or cemetery should suffice to convince most folks that we are indeed broken, that we need fixing, and that it's beyond our ability to do it. Folks, we need help. And mercifully, the Creator has provided it. And this is what needs to be communicated, shared with the world, that God fixes us through His only begotten Son, Jesus. And so, to those who hear and believe what God has to say through the full counsel of the Scriptures, it will at first lead you to grieve, as you come to fully comprehend your sins and your rebellion against God. Aided by the Holy Spirit, how can such knowledge but lead our hearts to be anguished and our conscience to be not troubled? For we have sinned against God and one another. We have thought and said terrible things. Instead of love, we have hated. Instead of communicating the word of God, which leads to eternal life, we have remained silent, or worse, have encouraged sin, which leads to eternal death. I'm assuming that, like me, you too cannot understand why we repeatedly fall into the same grievous sins. Personally, I pull what's left of my hair out, despairing over the things that I have done or failed to do. But the Holy Spirit, working through God's Word, will always lead you to ask, "What is wrong with me?" Well, that same Word will also tell you that I'm broken. I need to be repaired. And the Spirit then reveals that we are repaired through the forgiveness of our sins by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Of course, we continue to sin. I mean, that's what broken people do. But our loving Jesus refuses to stop forgiving. And He'll keep on forgiving me and you until the second we die. And it's this message that turns our grief to joy, that we will be fully restored, finally fixed, on the last day. The message that if Jesus can forgive a sinner like me, He can and will forgive you too. And that's the wonderful, almost incomprehensible news that we have to share with the world. That when we go to bed at night, having figuratively filled a whiteboard listing all of our sins from that day, Jesus will then come along with an eraser and wipe it clean so that none shall be known on the day of judgment. Oh, that everyone would hear that message, that everyone who hears it would believe it, that everyone who hears and believes it should share it. As the story goes, an American Navy submarine was out on sea trials for a week. When it returned to the harbor, the captain was then asked on the dock by his waiting wife how the terrible typhoon had affected his ship and his voyage. "Typhoon? Storm?" he asked. "What storm?" You see, the sub had been so far beneath the surface of the ocean that despite the high winds and huge waves on the surface, the waters below never stirred. I think this is a fairly good illustration of the peace that will rest upon those upon whom the Holy Spirit visits through God's message of the cross. For the waves of worry, of fear, of heartbreak, of guilt, ultimately cannot destroy those abiding in Christ, and our souls cannot be destroyed by the ragings of the devil. For in Christ, the debt we owe to God has been paid, and we now stand forgiven, at peace with God. This weekend our nation remembers those who died to secure our nation's freedoms. This morning, the church around the world remembers our Lord Jesus, who died to secure our soul's freedom from sin and eternal death. A message brought by God the Holy Spirit, heard and communicated by the prophets, and now shared with you. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord forevermore. Amen. The Lord's blessings to you until next week and our celebration of the Trinity.